Titus 2. Still talking about salvation. And we're going to go into in verse number, let's read at verse number 11. They can put that up for me real quick. Y'all can just read it for me. Titus 2:11. They got it. Ready, read. For the grace of God. How many men? So nobody could die without salvation appearing to them. It don't mean they all accept it. Even on their deathbed, you're going to see people, you'll see people turn away from God. Do not think that just because a person died and somebody presented, plenty of people have turned down the offer of salvation. But it has appeared to everybody. Car accident, you don't know when God appeared to them, right? They weren't born again. How do you know? How do you know? Could have happened that morning. Could have happened right before. You just never know. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, I thank you, and I give you all praise. Ask for utterance and the anointing, and for you to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name. Y'all can have y'all seat. So, we talked about, I left off last week by talking about how man is saved. And the real, how's a person saved? I just asked you. Huh? Are y'all saved? Do we need to do an altar call? Huh? So you confess with your mouth what you believed in your heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead, you are saved. That is it. You confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, God raised Jesus from the dead, you are saved. Now, I end it, and I'll clarify this for Brother Sanders and some others. When I say that baptism is not a requirement, it's not a requirement for salvation. It is a requirement, and I'm not going to get into it tonight because I'm leading up to that. It is a requirement. Now, there's a lot of things out there that teach that it's confession, baptism in the Holy Ghost. You do need all that. Make your kids be quiet. Now, let me just pause right there. Because Co-Pastor paused the children's ministry. It's not done away with, it's paused. All right, say this ain't got nothing to do with this. But the whole reason why they're in here, and she made that call, I'm going to support it. But I told our church almost over a year ago that anytime God starts using or doing something in a church, you got to be on the lookout. And primarily, when the enemy starts working in a church to get it to implode, he works through children in this order. He works in children first. He going to work in women. And then men, typically like that. He's going to try to work from the bottom or the lowest up to get in. And what, this ain't my message, but typically how it works with kids, because, you know, sometimes they don't know how to cover themselves, and they just kids. They just kids. But let me help all the parents. And, you know, my oldest, my youngest son is 28, our oldest is 36. And we don't raise a bunch of kids in between that. But anyway, old school parenting mother used to do this. So like if Desmond had a problem with Zayana, and I'm the parent, if Zayana is the culprit, I still got to make it an issue about Desmond, because it take two to tangle. So I can't just, as another parent, I can just go in on her. That's not old school parenting. Because you have to make it like that kid's your kid. So I got to make it an issue about both of y'all. So after I finish on her, or simultaneously, I'm gonna get him too. And then we're going to all be good. And let's just say, what's your baby? How old is your baby? She's 12. If she's in the room and it was just between Zayana and him, I'm still going to make it about her, because you sat right there and you watched them. I expect more out of you. Did you see that? See, but new school parenting, the first thing we want to do is defend our child and don't even look into the circumstance. And we don't treat them like they're all our kids. So like if and this what gave mother people permission, that's not my child, but I could whoop her and the parents wouldn't say anything because they knew that I'm going to whoop him and I'm going to get everybody else involved. It was like a group thing. It was the group therapy. Because I'm treating her like she mine. But if you're defending yours at the expense of somebody else, then you don't see every child like they're yours. This mine. It ain't yours in the first place. But we don't parent like that no more. So they would whoop your child and then get their kids ice cream. Spooky, 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 I'm sorry. Don't whoop nobody kids up in here, because I don't need no lawsuits, but you can correct them. Decent parents who care about other people's kids correct everybody in the room. If you're a teenager, you know better. See, because what you don't want to train them to do is to just mind their own business. That's how drug dealers take over streets. Don't nobody care until he pimping out their daughter. But the whole time it was on the other end of the street, didn't nobody have no problem, but he was working his way down the whole street. Now he got all the girls on drugs. He done slept with them all, and your house is right next to his. Now your house is a, you could have did something when it was way down the street. You don't let the enemy infiltrate churches working through children. Say they all ours. And don't get all wrapped up because your kid cry. Actors cry. That don't mean nothing because they crying. You ever cried and you wasn't really nothing? You just wanted to get something from your parents? Y'all lie so much. You ever just cried? You didn't, wasn't nothing really wrong. You just wanted something. That don't mean nothing. Don't let children wreck this move of God. Because, and then I say women, because the next thing that's gonna happen, if it was your daughter and her daughter, the next thing, once they corner y'all off until they side, now y'all gonna have a problem with each other. Women. And then Bucky don't know nothing. He just do what his wife sell him to do. So once she get mad, he gonna get mad. He don't even know what happened. He just know his woman mad. Because Bucky ain't involved in nothing. He don't even bring his family to church. He don't even care. He just, my wife mad, so I'm mad now. Say, we are family. We refuse to let the devil in. So now I'm going to pump my brakes. Let's go back to what I was talking about. So it's just pause for a second, right? That's more so to get the kids' attention that some things ain't going to be tolerated. Older kids, check the young kids. Any type of bullying ain't going to be tolerated. Right? And then what people call first families, the requirements should be higher. Meaning that some things, you know, we deal with foster kids, so these ain't my kids. Let's put that out there. The requirement may be a little different because based on where they come from. That don't mean everybody's kid get to pick on them because they're a foster kid. Don't look at nobody and say, I wish you would. You don't get the second class them because they foster. All right? Everybody clear? So it's just paused. It ain't no big deal. Support your co-pastor and you'll get the attention of the kids. And then we won't have no issues because we love all our kids. You ever seen your kids around us? That means you can tell that they sense purity and love towards them. All you got to do is support it. They'll come right online. No harm, no foul. We're not going to make a mountain out of a molehill. Say it ain't that serious. It's just kids. So we're talking about being saved. You're saved through that right there. And there's many scriptures in the Bible that support that the only requirement for salvation is that. You should get baptized, and I'll teach you why, and I kind of alluded to it last week, why you need it. The real reason why you need to be baptized is that it's going to make it really difficult for you to live out or walk out your salvation. It's sort of like tithing. Tithing rebukes the devourer. So you tithe, and then there's a reaction to it. Once you get saved, you get baptized because it triggers something. It triggers something else. And you definitely ain't speaking in no tongues if you ain't baptized. You definitely not doing that. So tell if you ain't been baptized, don't look at nobody and say, just stop, please. Because you're making yourself look. So, Titus 3:5 says, it's not by works of righteousness once we've done, but it's according to his mercies he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. He says that being justified by grace and his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So nobody saved because we so good. We only saved because of what he has done. Does that make sense to you? And so this is why you don't let people push you away from God. So John 14:6, put that up there. So the only way to the Father is through Christ. You have to be born again. John 14:6. And it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Who is the way? Jesus. So you don't have to entertain people who come up with all these different places. You got your way to heaven. We all talking about the same God. All religion lead to one place. I wouldn't take my chances on that if Jesus said this, I'm the only way. Do you know every other religion, Sister Brianna, that religion can walk you to that man's grave. We can find a founder. We can't find our founder because he got up just like he said he was going to do. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm more prone to believe our way. How about you? Jesus is the only way. He the only way to the Father, right? And the life, no man comes to the Father but by Jesus. That's the only way you're going to get to him. And so you receive salvation through faith in Jesus. Salvation through faith in Jesus and his finished work. And so in John 1:16, it says this, and of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. We have received grace for grace. In other words, when God poured out grace on your life, he got another batch waiting for you. If you mess up the same day, a couple hours later, God got some more grace for you if you repent. So you don't never let the devil condemn you. You never let him back you in. I'm going to show you how you can prove. So because we're talking about the evidence of salvation tonight. Is there evidence to a person being saved? And let me help you out. Let me help these people out, Sister Sims. All this, you can't judge me. That's a lie. I most definitely can judge you. I can't judge you in regards to heaven or hell. Only Jesus, they got that right. Only God can do that. But Jesus made it abundantly clear that there is a righteous judgment. You shall know them by their fruit. You are to discern and to judge whether you see fruit or not. When John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came out there, and they trying to butter up the John, right? They trying to kiss up the John and act like they came out there to see him. And he said, why you come out here, you generation of vipers? No, they done came to his tent meeting, Sister Tyra, acting like they done received and they in. And John said, what you doing out here, you snake? Right. Oh, we just come out here. Then John says, now show me your fruits of righteousness if you believe what I believe. What is he looking at? He looking at fruit. He judging the fact that he's discerning that they are liars. How many know liars come to church? You don't put them on usher boards, and you don't put them on praise and worship, and you don't let them play. They come straight from the club and then jump on the things. You don't let them come in and just become some person on your financial committee just because they work in the secular world like that. Keep working out there, because I guarantee they checking every movement that you got, and you take some for them, they're going to slam dunk you. We the only one who give people a rite of passage, and we don't discern, and we don't check out nobody. If they say they are, we just let them in, and God say, no, you judge them by their fruit. Not they toot or not they suit. Not by what they say and not because they can dress up. You can put, how you say, you can put lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig. You can bring demons to church if they're not born again. And you say, you mean, don't call me no demon. What, are you born again? No, well, you're being led by them. Whoever you are who's leading you, you obey and you are slave to them. So I feel good. How about you? You feel good? So when God extends grace, what else is needed? When God extends grace to us, what's needed? Your response. No man comes to the Father lest the Spirit leads him. If the Spirit is leading you to confess salvation, you're responding to God. If you don't respond to the invitation, then that person ain't saved. Meaning that you can't think your way into heaven. Well, I just receive him in my heart. No, 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 no. That's half of it. Confession has to be made with your mouth. That's half of it. that has to be made with your mouth. Why? Other people need to hear it. Heaven needs to hear it. God wants to hear it. I just receive him in my heart. No. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. So you're not going to say you're not going to think your way in. Say thinking you saved don't make you saved. And then God give a powerful altar call. Invite people to come, and they'll stand right back there and won't confess God. And the whole time be thinking they saved. Say, if you're going to play saved, stop playing, just get saved. Because what's going to happen, you can play with it, and then it won't work for you. There are things that God do for his people he don't do for everybody. So you might as well get saved. And so hang around church every week, never giving your heart to God, that don't make you saved. Acts 16:31 says, again, this is how you get saved. I can give you a bunch of these scriptures like this. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ only, and thou art saved, thou and thy house. I can give you a bunch of scriptures like that. We do all the other stuff, but this is the pinnacle of it. This at the top right here. You got to do this. And you got to believe in the resurrection. You just can't believe on Jesus. You got to believe that he got up. Because if you don't believe in that, then you don't say there's evidence to salvation. So what's the evidence? Go to Romans 8, verse 16, please. What does the evidence look like? Well, part of the evidence, let's read it. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Read it out loud. Everybody read that. The So the evidence, remember we were talking about the witness a couple weeks ago. The evidence is the direct witness with your spirit first. There is a direct witness. That's why you tell people it ain't just saying words out of your mouth. There is a direct witness with your spirit when you get born again. That's why you can remember it. So you ask me when you're born again. You may not be able to give me the exact day. You pretty much know the month. You know the year. You know where you was at. You know who was around you. You understand what I'm saying? You know how you felt. You know how you felt when you walked away. You really on a spiritual high after you really get born again. Like for some people, days. Some people, it's weeks. Right, and they stay up there. A lot of people can remember because when you first get born again, it's like everything you ask God, he do. It's like with a baby. Every time that baby, you don't even know what they say. You want this? You want that? You want that? Can you talk? But everything you ask God for, he do it for you. That's why it's so significant. He's training you that he's willing to move with you. As you mature, he starts pushing you to live more by faith, the way you was created to be. But if you can't remember none of that, you should get born again. You shouldn't tell people that. You're going to talk people out of salvation. When you get born again, the evidence that you are saved is that you get a direct witness. You have a witness or a confirmation in your heart. How somebody going to talk you out of something that you know is already real? You ain't got no mind. You ain't got no mind. Show me your mind.
can crack my head open. I can show you my brain. That's not my mind. But the fact that you can comprehend what I'm saying, you can't see your mind, but you know you got a mind. You got a direct witness. You can recall thoughts. You know where you live. You know what you ate. You know your name. You know your kid's name. That's the witness that you got your mind. If you got born again and you got the Holy Spirit down on the inside of you, you got a direct witness. How somebody gonna talk you out of something that they say they can't see, but you know you got? So I know I'm saved. And if you ain't, you should get saved. You should get saved if you're not saved. Everybody say this: the Holy Spirit testified and told me I'm his. I'm a child of God. Say, the Holy Spirit testified as my witness that I'm born again. I'm his child. Somebody should give the Lord a hand of praise right there. I know I'm saved. Two people. So can anybody just freely say they saved? No, that's my point. See that? Everybody can't freely say they saved. Is it always that people are embarrassed to witness in public and tell people that they saved? Is it always that they just, I was just ashamed, I was just shy? I thought boldness came with the Holy Ghost. It's different. It's a new religion. That's another gospel. But everybody can't freely say that. Say, I know I'm saved.
I know I'm saved.
They can't say it because the Holy Spirit, watch this, imparts confidence for you to say it. Right. It's sort of like this. Don't believe a person who stuttered to tell you that they love you. We've been dating for four and a half years. Do you love me? Let me get a drink. Say they don't love you. When you have a love walk with God, you confident to tell people that I got this love relationship now. You should talk about it. When the last time you talked about it? When the last time you talked about God, period, in public, work, family barbecues, home? Tell somebody you should talk about him. Say, if you know him and you're in a relationship and you got to confirm and witness, you should talk about him. My wife always talking about she showed up at the duty station and she didn't like it because people knew her and she didn't know them, right? Well, she should be glad that they knew her before they met her, and I wouldn't pass it some other woman off like she was my wife. No. The point being is that I wasn't ashamed to talk about the person that I was in a relationship with. Why are you ashamed to talk about the God you say you're in a relationship with? That's the point. When you're in that type of relationship and you saved, see, because I was in love. I'm still in love. But we newly in love. You talk about him all the time. You talk about him all the time. They shouldn't be saying, I thought, never mind. That's all? Okay. I'll go whatever you're telling me today. Say, I know the man. I'm a child of God. So not only is there a witness in your spirit, now this is what's going to make some people mad. That should be outward evidence. Everybody say outward evidence.
Outward evidence
to everybody around you because you live different. That should be out with evidence. There's no way something happened in your heart and your behavior don't change. So you couldn't go off on him, Sister Young. You couldn't. Because something happened in your heart. So my behavior should change. And it ain't nothing like somebody that you've been in heated arguments with in the past to sense that you ain't the same no more. When your enemies recognize that you ain't the same, say it's probably real. They should be the ones to say, you know, used to you been used a whole lot of choice words. Used to we'd have been rolling by now. Used to, you know what, I'd already let you in. But you can't let them in. So I know I've been changed. And even when you call them and they show up, by the time they get there, the Holy Spirit done convicted you, and you be like, you can't come up in here. I didn't say I didn't want you to come up in here, but I don't want him to leave me. You can't come up in here. So I know I've been changed. But if ain't nothing changed, say ain't nothing changed. Say if ain't nothing changed, then ain't nothing changed. Y'all okay? Because people be trying to, you know, Jedi mind trick you into believing stuff that, let's just, so there should be some outward evidence. Ephesians 1. Mm-hmm. Should be a life of holiness. Do you know how holiness happens? Really? God starts purifying you like this. Because temptation ain't necessarily the sin. Every time you tempted and you almost did it or in it, said it, ate it, drunk it, or allowed somebody into a position in your life that they shouldn't be in, every time that you say no, and the more you say no and resist the devil in that area, you're purifying yourself. That's how holiness manifests. Does that make any sense to you? That's why immediately when you get born again, like, certain stuff just, it's automatic. Then there are other stuff you have to work at. But the stuff, watch this, the stuff that was initially automatic proved to you that God is there working. And he's, look at me, and he's willing to work out the other stuff. Some stuff is stronger in us because we're weaker to it. Don't make you not be saved. It just means that you need to deny yourself. You need to yield to God. You need to resist the devil. The only way you can, watch this, how do you resist the devil? You have to be yielding and submitted to God first. If you're not yielding and submitted to God, you're not going to be able to resist the devil. This is why I see you, Sister Diana. This is why most people cannot fast. Ain't got to do with no headaches. I'm going to help you tonight now. You might get mad, but you're gonna get some understanding. And I ain't talking about people that's sick. I ain't talking about people that's got to take medicine. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about ain't nothing wrong with you. You just say you can't do it. Because you're not going to be able to resist, watch this, you're not going to be able to resist heinous stuff over here if you can't resist a cheeseburger over here. Is this too simple for you? Because we're laughing and I'm serious. You're not going to be able to dominate these devils when God's telling you to fast and you can't get past the Snickers. How I know? How I know? Because I done lived it. That's how I know.
Yes, ma'am. Temptation is not a sin. If that's the case, what was Jesus' problem on the mount? Because they said that he was tempted. See, and where we the way the devil get us is he makes us think that being tempted is sin. So we say, if I'm tempted, I'm already in sin, I might as well do it. Say, don't believe that lie. That ain't no sin. Because if that's the case, then Jesus had some serious problems on the mount. And yet we know he had no sin. He committed no sin. You can't tempt God. Then why they say he was tempted if he couldn't have been tempted? He could have came down off the cross. How they going to stop him? He God. He didn't even have to, as a matter of fact, he questioned it to some validity, right? Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. If it be any other way, remove this cup from me. That's his humanity. Tell somebody, say, you're not God. You're made in the image of God. You are human, saved by grace. Through faith. I know some people think they glorify, but they not. Yet. And that's why I say they're so quick to point at other people's stuff. Because they think they already glorified. But they ain't. And guess what, mother? They get tempted in areas just like you. And me. And any other saved person on the planet. So when people act like they ain't got no sin, you should do one of these because you know you're dealing with a liar. And when you've been saved long enough, you know what you're listening to and looking at. So the outward evidence or the outward witness for all people is that you live different. You start working towards living a life of holiness. You can't do the same stuff no more. Like Sister Donna, I don't understand the baby Christian thing. I really don't understand it. Because you got the fullness of God in you. The only problem that you have is your mind and your soul. God ain't in control of that. You in control of that. You renew your mind. And when people won't renew their mind, they can't figure out why God won't make them change. God's not going to make you change. He's going to let you do whatever the heck you want to do. And then he's going to let you reap the fruits from whatever you do. Do you know what came to me during prayer? That God going to let, it can be short if you want it to be. But he going to let some people go through some skirmishes because you will not take him serious or seek him when he give you a season of unlimited peace. You start drifting just out there before church. You're going to have some skirmishes, some small fights to remind you that when God give you peace, you enjoy it, but you don't cut him out. You don't fall in love. Only a spiritual dummy fall in love with rest. I'm telling you. So I know I'm saved. Don't take that much sleep for no. Bears sleep pretty long, right? It don't take that much sleep for a bear. Ephesians 1. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and love for all the saints, I cease not to thank God for you. So stop right there. He's talking about people being the confirming witness. You've already had a witness. The Holy Spirit talked to you. But then Paul says that outside people were having conversations about these people being saved and their faith in the Lord. Well, how would they know that they had faith in the Lord and not just changed or willpower for a season? They're demonstrating the change while they're talking about Jesus. I don't want to offend nobody. They offend you. I'm going to make me a bumper sticker. Proud of my straight daughter. That's what a guy had on the back of his truck. Proud of my gay daughter. So I figured the rhetorical, the opposite of that, is I'm proud of my straight daughter. They proud of their gay son. I'm proud of my straight son. Huh? They talk about being drunk on the weekend. I'm going to talk about people falling out in the spirit. Well, I can't talk about my stuff? Why can't we talk about our stuff? Because they done trained you to keep your mouth shut. Say, I'm saved, and I'm going to talk about it. Say, I'm saved, and I'm going to talk about it. If you talk about your mess, I'm going to talk about my Jesus, the God that can clean up your mess, but I ain't going to shut my mouth to make peace with you devils. I'm going to do my job. Because that's what people paying me to do. But I ain't going to sit up here. You're not going to pull up no seat at my lunch table and talking to me about you cheating with your girlfriend on your husband. Huh? I said it just like I said it. You talking to me about your woman and you trying to hide it from your man husband. Don't look at no. Yes, confused. Say, brothers, make sure she's straight before you marry her. You don't want to get whooped by no woman about your woman. That ain't going to look good in the papers. No, you talk about your stuff, I'm going to talk about God. That's why you should be seen reading your Bible in public. Like the Bible says, not on your phone, paper. Why? I'm letting you know I'm saved. Every day I see you at the lunch break. On your break, you're reading your Bible. Why are you always reading the Bible? Because we can't take this. We can't take somebody laughing at us because you're weak. You're weak. You need to get stronger in God. If you can't, if somebody laughing at you make you feel some kind of way, you need to get more in depth in the things of God. We're still talking about salvation. You need to get more involved in your salvation. You need to, and you get intimidated because you can't defend your faith. If you stay in that Bible, whatever crazy question they give you, I've been in conversations and God, I didn't really know the scripture. I didn't know what was that. I knew God though. And before I knew it, doot, 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 doot. So I know God. I was going to ask y'all if y'all got any questions, but y'all probably do. I ain't got time, though. So get me later. He says, and watch this. Paul said, I cease to not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the, watch this, you need this. He prayed for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, of God. He prayed that the eyes of your understanding, that's why I added that to the morning prayer. The eyes of your, that's where this comes from. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. What's the hope of your calling? That when you die, you're not dead. You can't die. You transition.
If Christians understood this, they wouldn't be acting so crazy after a saved person transitioned from this life to the next life with God. They wouldn't be acting so crazy all the time. They would be totally okay with it because they'll be saying, I got next. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, I got next. And you do. In 50 years, almost none of us will be here. In 100 years, you're not going to be here. You're going to be dead. Everybody in here going to be dead. In 200 years, you won't be here. Most of us don't do enough teaching our kids to reverence and respect the elders, so your great-great-great-grandkids won't even know who you are. If we process life like that and knowing that I'm saved to be absent from the body, I won't hold on to this life for dear life. This life is nothing. This life, sister, is the shortest thing. You already eternal. Your babies are eternal. That's one of the things that make them like God. They are eternal creatures. You are an eternal creature. All we working on is where we going to spend eternity at. And this life, this 80, 90, 120 years, I want the 120, I do. I really want the 120. But this 120 years is the shortest thing you're going to ever do with your eternal life, Sister Erica, right down here. And down here ain't even worth much. In heaven, the streets are made of gold. Jesus' gate, the gate to get into heaven is a pearl. Now, why God need a pearl gate? Because he God and he wanted a pearl gate. Are you following what I'm saying? There is no darkness in heaven. The S-O-N, the Bible says that he lights up heaven, so no matter where you at in heaven, you're going to be able to feel God's glory because there's never going to be no darkness in heaven ever again. You'll never know what darkness means or look like because God's going to be everywhere. So I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. Now, there's some people that say, I don't know. I wish I would have did more. He couldn't have let me do more in the world. My behavior is too addictive. I'd have been dead someplace. My thoughts would have got me killed. My mouth would have had me dead someplace. You let God use your mouth, he'll let you live some. I said, if you let him use your lips and your words, he'll let you live some. And he'll bless you in the process. All this going off on people, you're going to mess around and run into the wrong person. Don't look at nobody and say, you should keep your mouth closed. Unless God is using your words. That they may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glories to the saints, which is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, say resurrection power, and set him on the right hand in heavenly places, far above, say far above. And I think it's Ephesians 1 and 20, somewhere up in there, talks about how we are seated with him. That makes us far above principalities. That you far above problems. You far above this darkness and all this stuff that's happening. You choose to live the common fray of everyday negativity because you won't allow the Holy Spirit to lift you up. Say, lift me up above all the problems, all the cares, all the negativity of this world. I choose to live in the now with you and dominate and dominate and dominate everything that the devil is trying to do to me. Say, I cannot lose. You should give the Lord a hand of praise. You can't lose. You have to come down to the devil to lose. You got to come down to lose. You above.
Sister Rosalind, you're above. You're above. Well, this is happening in my life. You're above it. That's why you don't argue with fools or demons who will have occupied a fool. I don't have to argue with you. You, if you understand who you really are, you can tell them, be quiet. Jesus used to say, be quiet. And because they knew who he was, they would close their mouth. Be quiet. And do you know what them devils going to do? They're going to shut up. They're going to obey. They're not obeying you. They're obeying the God in you. See, I'm glad I'm saved. They're obeying the God in you. But people want to come down and fight. What? They ain't coming down. So then there's the Holy Spirit will make known to you the truth that God loves you. This is where I want to go with this. Put Hebrews 25 up there real quick and then go to Romans 8. Hebrews 27, 25, and then go to Romans 8 and 1. 25. Wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost. We say the guttermost. Right? The guttermost. I think this day and age we understand the guttermost better than the uttermost. He able to save them people. Say, come on, Jesus. Because we got some loved ones just in the gutter. Most of us come out the gutter. Don't mistake your economic status with you not being in the gutter. Because that means, you know, you got more money to pay for your bad habits. But he got most of us out the gutter. He says that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth, say he ever liveth, to make intercession for me. Romans 8, why is he doing that? Because he is trying to show us how much he loves us. He's trying to point out to us he lives to make intercession for you. Every mess up. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, the stuff you did today, the stuff you contemplated on doing today, the stuff you almost did today, the stuff you said today, the stuff you looked at today, the stuff you refused to do for God today, he lives to make intercession for you. He's up there telling God, God, they time ain't up. They got tomorrow. They're going to do it tomorrow. I know, I believe, isn't this something that Jesus believes in you more than sometimes we believe in ourselves? And he, every day he does this because his love for us is so great. If God loves you, why you got a problem loving you? You shouldn't love yourself more than you should. That's a narcissist. And that spirit, that ain't no phrase no more. All you got to do is get on people's Facebook page and you see they ain't nothing but narcissists. They ain't got no picture of nobody but them. They ain't got nobody but them. Because they love themselves. That's why older women can't age gracefully. They fell in love with an image when they was 25. You're not 25. And you fooling yourself because everybody around you know you're not 25. And you look your age. Don't believe these people who telling you you don't look your age. You do. I'm just trying to help them, Sister Jazz, because they be believing it. Don't look at nobody and say, you do look your age. No, she do look her age, but she is proof you can be fine at any age. Girl, you better get up and give me a high five. You can be fine at any age. Yes, Lord. I know she fine.
It's hard to watch these little junk, these young gigolos pop them right in there. So Romans 8, you got to love yourself. You don't know what I did. You don't know how powerful the blood is. Obviously, you don't know. Though your sins be as scarlet, double dipped in sin, his blood will make it white as snow. So you don't have to be condemned. Every time somebody bring up stuff you used to do, if you change, say amen. If you've been redeemed, say amen. Don't cop no attitude if you've been changed. If you copped an attitude, you're making me question if you saved. Or if you really deliver, say, I know I've been changed. But every time somebody bring up my past, I don't have to come out of the pocket, because my history is now his story, and he's given it to me to tell the world and show the world that God is good all the time. And all the time what? God is good. So I don't have to be embarrassed about nothing that I've done in my life. And do you know what? When I confess my sins to him, I don't have to keep apologizing to you. You're the one with the problem. Say, I'm free. I ain't apologizing to you no more. You get no more sorries out of me. That's your problem. You should read Romans 8. Let's read Romans 8. Let's go. He says, there is now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, what? But after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Say, I'm free. From the law of sin and death. For what the law couldn't do, that it was weak through the flesh, human abilities, willpower, God sent his own son in the likeness of a sinful flesh and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in me. Say, I'm saved. That the righteousness of the law, say, and I'm righteous. Now, people can't say that. Everybody can't say that. They can, but they won't do it. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. He says, for they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Because I'm talking about the evidence. That's evidence to prove, and my time is up. Come on, let's stand and get up out of here. My time is up. That's evidence to prove. I'll pick back up there next week. Get the Lord a good hand of praise. Give him a good praise if you're going to give him a good praise. Don't patty gate. Give him a good praise. If you're glad and you know you're glad that you're saved, let heaven know that you appreciate him snatching you out of darkness, putting you in his marvelous light, cleaning you up and showing you what you was really made of, what's really down on the inside of you, letting you know that you're not what you used to be, but you can be everything that God called you to be. That your future is bright and it's ahead. That you got an expected end ahead of you. If you'll move past the darkness, you will experience the goodness of God's light. Say, he's talking to you now. And Father, we thank you right now, God, for your Spirit. We thank you for saving us. Oh, God, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for freeing us and for washing us, God. Thank you for your blood that you shared on Calvary. Thank you for taking our sins, God, upon yourself. Thank you for bearing that cross, God, for us, and then loving us while we were yet sinners. We thank you for salvation tonight. We thank you that we're demonstrating, God, not only to our loved ones, but people around us who knew us in our past, that we are not the same. We'll never be the same. We're never going back to what was, that we are new creatures in you. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We thank you for newness on tonight. And Father, we give you all praise, all glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Clap your hand if you believe that.